Please open your Bible to the Gospel according to Luke chapter 14. The Gospel according to Luke chapter 14. And I'm going to read the first 14 verses, if you'd like to please follow on. Luke chapter 14, verse 1. And it came to pass, as he went into the house of one of the chief Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath day, that they watched him. And, behold, there was a certain man before him which had the dropsy. And Jesus answering spake unto the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? And they held their peace. And he took him and healed him and let him go. And answering them, saying, Which of you shall have an ass or an ox fallen into a pit, and will not straightway pull him out on the Sabbath day? And they could not answer him again to these things. And he put forth a parable to those which were bidden, when he marked how they chose out the chief rooms, saying unto them, When thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honourable man than thou be bidden of him. And he that bade thee and him come and say to thee, Give this man place, and thou begin with shame to take the lowest room. But when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room. That when he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, Friend, go up higher. Then shalt thou have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Then said he also to him that bade him, When thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbours, lest they also bid thee again, and a recompense be made thee. When thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Our great God and Heavenly Father, thank you that we're able to gather in this very simple way this morning. Thank you that we've been able to encourage each other in song and in prayer. We ask now that you would, as it were, come down and meet with us as your word goes forth. I pray that you would help me to speak clearly. I pray that you would help us to understand what is written here. Lord, I pray that the message would be communicated very clearly. We pray that your spirit would be at work in our minds, in our hearts. We pray for grace to go from here and do these things. And this we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen. This morning, as we continue our study through the Gospel according to Luke, we're in chapter 14. And we come to the third scene in this Sabbath day meal that Jesus had in the home of a leading Pharisee. In scene one, we saw Jesus heal a man who was suffering from what we today would call edema. He healed this man, and at the same time, he answered his opponents and put them to silence. In our last sermon, we considered scene two, where Jesus, upon observing the behaviour of the guests at this meal, gave a parable intended to teach a lesson about humility. The title of that sermon was, Choose to be Humble. And it was given on the Lord's Day a few weeks ago, where we couldn't meet in this building and had some house churches. In scene three, which is related to us in verses 12 to 14, we see Jesus addressing the host, the Pharisee into whose home he had been invited. And I'll read those verses again so we can concentrate on them. Luke chapter 14, verse 12. Then said he also to him that bade him, When thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbours, lest they also bid thee again, and a recompense be made thee. But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind. And thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee. Thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. Now, I have to say that these are difficult verses to understand. Not that their meaning is vague or complicated, but because it's not easy to work out what exactly Jesus is telling us to do. How literally are we supposed to take these instructions? How far does Jesus mean for us to go with this? Is he ruling out having meals where we invite only our family members and friends? Should you feel guilty if you've invited some of your closest friends over for lunch today? After all, Jesus said, "Call not thy friends nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen." Does Jesus actually expect us to invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind into our homes? And if he does, have we ever done anything like this? Have we ever opened our homes to people who are not in our immediate circle of family and friends? Have we ever had people at our lunch table who we didn't know very well and who were in need? What was Jesus getting at in these verses? And what do they mean for us? These are the questions that, by God's grace, I'm going to endeavour to answer in our message this morning. I'm going to begin with a word about the context, and then, as you can see on the outline sheet that was in the order of worship, I have two simple headings. Number one, what Jesus was not saying, and number two, what Jesus was saying. Very simple. What Jesus was not saying, what Jesus was saying. And so let's get started with a word about the context. I think it's safe to infer that in verses 12 to 14, Jesus was responding to what he was observing at this meal. That's what he was doing in verses 8 to 11. Verse 8 says, "And he put forth a parable to those which were bidden when he marked," or that is, when he saw how they chose out the chief rooms. Now, I'd suggest that he was doing the same thing when he addressed the host. He'd taken stock of who had been invited to this meal and who had not been invited. Perhaps he noticed the way the Pharisee was treating his guests, and it was apparent to Jesus what his motives were. Now, I've put a couple of quotes in the outline that support this idea and help us understand the context. This is from William Hendrickson. He says, "The parable has ended, but Jesus still has a word for the host. The master undoubtedly observed that most of the guests were important people. But if the rich socialise only with the rich, the learned only with the learned, the influential with the influential, what happens to the rest of society?" And then listen to John Calvin. He puts it a bit more strongly in his commentary. He writes, "Christ addresses in a particular manner the person who had invited him, because he perceived that he was too much addicted to pomp and luxury, and was so desirous to obtain the applause and favour of the rich that he cared very little about the poor." Now, perhaps Calvin goes a bit far. He might be reading a bit too much into the text and into the mind of this Pharisee, but I think the overall idea is right. It was this man's attitude that was evident in who he had invited to this meal that prompted Jesus to say what he did. If the Pharisee had invited a cross-section of his community into his home for Sabbath day lunch, if he had invited the rich and the poor, the powerful and the powerless, then I don't think Jesus would have spoken to him this way. What I think we can say is that, as with most of his interactions, Jesus was addressing this man's heart. And I think that's the key to rightly interpreting his words. Jesus was not giving this Pharisee or his own disciples a strict set of instructions to be followed at all times and in every case. Rather, he was dealing with an individual, challenging him about his attitude, challenging him about his motives and his behaviour. In so doing, Jesus challenges us. He deals with our attitude. He teaches us what genuine hospitality is. And so, with this in mind, let's go to heading number one in our outline: what Jesus was not saying. And there are three things that I want to point out. First of all, Jesus was not saying that it's wrong to invite your family and friends over for a meal. It It's important that we're clear about this because, as I said a moment ago, we might read this and conclude that Jesus was completely ruling out ever inviting our family and friends over for lunch. I mean, he does say, "When thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbours." We know that Jesus wasn't issuing a blanket ban on family gatherings over lunch or dinner because such gatherings were an integral part of Jewish life as it was lived under the law of God. In the Old Testament, we see that God ordained festivals where families would get together for a meal, or go to the temple, offer a sacrifice, and then have a meal together as part of the worship. There is no doubt that Jesus himself participated in such meals, that he sat at the table with his cousins or his aunts and uncles or his neighbours when he travelled to Jerusalem to participate in these festivals or when he celebrated the Passover. Jesus was not repudiating all of that here. He was not making a new rule for his disciples. He was not speaking against the family and community life that God's law encouraged. Rather, as I said earlier, he was addressing this man's heart. He was zeroing in on his motives. He was using strong language to do so. This was an example of hyperbole. We have to interpret Jesus' words in their immediate context, the setting of this meal in the Pharisee's home and what was going on there. We have to interpret his words in light of the rest of Scripture and with some common sense. When we do all of that, it's pretty clear that Jesus wasn't telling us that we're not to have our friends or our extended family over for meals. Gatherings like that are, in fact, God's gift to us. They bless and enrich our lives. Jesus wasn't saying that, nor was he saying that it's wrong to invite wealthy and/or influential people into our homes for a meal. If we take Jesus' words to mean that we can only ever have people in our home who are earning less than the average annual salary, which by the way is $67,000 in Australia, or if we take his words to mean that we can only have people over for a meal whose total assets are not more than a certain amount, then we've missed the point. Okay, we've misinterpreted the text. If your friends or your neighbours are wealthy, if they have some influential position in the community, it's fine to open your home to them. Again, Jesus wasn't ruling that out. And then the third thing that Jesus was not saying here is that it's always wrong to have people over for a meal with a view to influencing them or receiving some favour in return. Now you might be thinking, hold on a minute, Pastor. Isn't that exactly what Jesus was speaking against here? Yes, he was, but again, if we take this as a statement that completely rules out this kind of thing, then I think we make more of Jesus' words than Jesus intended. This is something that businesses and other organisations do all the time. They use meals and hospitality to persuade people to purchase their products or to make a deal. There is a whole industry built around this. It's called lobbying. You've probably heard of the Australian Christian Lobby. This industry is all about influence. It's all about persuasion. It's all about generating goodwill. And showing generosity is usually one of the ways this is accomplished. Some of you, as part of your job, get to enjoy this kind of generosity. But you usually know what the deal is. You know why the company rep is paying for your lunch or giving you tickets to a box at the football. I don't think there is anything wrong with Christians participating in this kind of thing, providing that there is no underhandedness, that there is no bait and switch, no deceit. You know, we ought to be clear about our intentions. You know, we're inviting you over for a meal because we want to talk to you about this project or whatever it might be. The issue is when we're not honest about our intentions, or if we're always calculating, if it's always about gaining influence or seeking some kind of favour in return, that's a problem. And as we're going to see, that's not hospitality. So that's what Jesus was not saying here, and I hope that's helpful. As I said, this is not an easy text to understand. Now we're going to move to the second heading in our outline. We're going to think about what Jesus was saying. Look, please, again at verses 12 through 14. Then said he also to him that bade him, When thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbours, lest they also bid thee again, and a recompense be made thee. But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and thou shalt be blessed. For they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. Now this is a whole other message for another day, but it's evident that as they read the Old Testament, there were Jewish people who came to believe in the resurrection. Not all did. For example, we know that the sect called the Sadducees, heavily influenced by Greek philosophy, denied the resurrection of the body. But we know that the Pharisees believed. This man Jesus was addressing, he believed. And he believed correctly. The resurrection of the body is taught in the Old Testament, as it is in the New. And we were reminded of that in our message last Sunday. Here Jesus refers to the resurrection of the just. That is, the resurrection of the righteous, a resurrection to everlasting life in the kingdom of God. And he speaks of a recompense. The word literally means to repay. Now, instead of trying to figure out what exactly this recompense might be, I think the point Jesus was trying to get across was very simple. He was saying that the kind of hospitality he was telling this man to show is what is praiseworthy in God's eyes. Entertaining the poor and the lame and the blind at your lunch table, people who can't repay you, that's hospitality. That's virtue. That's real love. And that's what God will reward on the last day. I think Calvin gets right to the heart of this in his commentary on this passage. It's a longer quote, but worth paying attention to. He says, To perform any act in the hope of a reward to rich men, from whom we expect a similar return, is not generosity, but a system of commercial exchange. And in like manner, kindness rendered from mercenary views is of no account in the sight of God and does not deserve to be ascribed to charity. In other words, if you show kindness to someone because you want to receive something in return from them, you can't call that charity. He continues, If I entertain at supper my relatives or rich friends, the act of civility ought not in itself to be condemned, but as a proof of charity, it will have no value whatever. For we frequently see that persons who are extremely selfish spare no expense or luxury in treating their friends. What then? You may spread at a table for the rich, but at the same time you must not neglect the poor. You may feast with your friends and relatives, but you must not shut out strangers if they shall happen to be poor and if you shall have the means of relieving their wants. In a word, the meaning of the passage is that those who are kind to relatives and friends but are stingy towards the poor are entitled to no commendation because they do not exercise charity but serve only their own gain or ambition. Jesus was putting his finger on this very thing. The host probably thought he was being generous, being hospitable by opening his home on the Sabbath day and inviting these people, but he wasn't really. He invited people who he was friendly with, leading figures in his community who could pay him back. And as we've seen, he was probably hoping to be paid back in some way, to gain some favour with his guests. And Jesus says to him here, in a manner of speaking, Sir, you're mistaken. There is nothing praiseworthy, nothing virtuous about what you're doing. This is not charity. This is not authentic hospitality. Prepare a feast and invite those in need, those who can't return the favour, and then you will be doing something praiseworthy. Then you will experience the blessings of God. was the message for this man. And I believe Jesus teaches us some things here as well. He teaches us about Christian love and what it means to show this love in the form of hospitality. Unfortunately, the way this word or this idea is used in the Bible is not quite the same way as how we think about it today. We tend to use the word hospitality to refer simply to having people in our homes for a meal or having them stay with us. And it does refer to that when it's used in the scriptures, but it's more specific. There is a crucial difference. And Jesus brings that out in this text. I'm going to share with you 6 points or 6 applications that we can draw from Jesus' words here. This is the message in this text for us, and you can see these in the outline. First of all, we see here that hosting people in your home with the view to receiving something in return is not authentic hospitality, nor does it receive the recompense of heaven. It might not necessarily be wrong to do this. As I said earlier, sometimes we might invite someone over for a meal because we want to persuade them to participate in a project, or we want them to support us in some way. As long as we're upfront about it, that's probably okay, but that's not hospitality. Our brother from Geneva, who I quoted earlier, would call that a commercial exchange. Our motives matter. Our motives make all the difference. If we extend the invitation to others because we want something in return, then we shouldn't delude ourselves into thinking that we're being generous or loving. God doesn't smile on that. Now, he might not frown on that, but there is nothing virtuous or praiseworthy when we behave this way. Secondly, and along the same lines, we see here that hosting your friends and family members who can return the favour is not authentic hospitality either. This is where I think we can be mistaken. We think we are showing hospitality when we have our friends over for lunch, or we have our extended family over for a barbecue. Because we might do this often, we can think that we are hospitable people, that we display this virtue that Christ expects of us, and according to our culture, we are displaying this virtue. But this is not how the Bible conceives of hospitality. It's not having your closest friends over for a meal or your extended family. It's not opening your home to people you know well and who open their homes to you. This is implicit in what Jesus said to the Pharisee. When thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbours. Inviting your friends over for dinner is a lovely thing to do. There is mutual blessing and encouragement in that. But it's not a particularly virtuous thing to do. It's no great stretch, is it, to be nice to your friends? There is nothing especially commendable about being generous to those people who you know well and who are generous to you. That's not authentic hospitality. And that brings us to the third lesson for us to take away from this text, and perhaps the most important. Authentic hospitality is welcoming into your home people who are not in your immediate circle of family and friends. Jesus said, "Call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbours." It is welcoming into your home people who are in need. Jesus said, "Call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind." It is welcoming into your home people who are not in a position to pay you back. They cannot recompense thee, Jesus said in verse 14. I'll say that again. Authentic hospitality is welcoming into your home people who are not in your immediate circle of family and friends. It is welcoming into your home people who are in need. It is welcoming into your home people who are not in a position to pay you back. This is the biblical idea of hospitality. And what Jesus said here in Luke chapter 14 is entirely in keeping with the definition of the word that is used in the New Testament. The Greek word translated hospitality is philonexia. It's made up of 2 words, philos, which is one of the words for love, and xenos, which means a stranger. Hospitality is showing love to strangers. It is to welcome strangers into your home, into your meal table. Not your family members, not your closest friends, but people you don't know so well, people who aren't in your immediate circle. This was what Jesus encouraged his host to do, to invite people in his community who weren't his friends to come into his home for a meal. People who didn't have the same standing as he did. People he didn't normally associate with. People who couldn't really do anything for him. If he invited them, then he would be doing what he probably thought he was doing. Then he would be showing hospitality. Then he would be the generous, loving host that he probably thought he was. Then he would have the approval of heaven. Now, as I meditated on this passage, it occurred to me that Jesus wasn't saying anything to this Pharisee that he didn't already know. Or at least this was something he should have known. And that's because the Old Testament scriptures made it clear, as do the New Testament scriptures, that God's people practice authentic hospitality. And this is the fourth point of application for us to take home today. We don't have time to go to the Old Testament this morning, so you'll have to take it on trust when I say that God repeatedly told his people in the law and in the prophets to treat strangers well and to look after the poor and the vulnerable. In fact, he gave specific, detailed commands designed to protect and maintain the welfare of strangers. Israel was to be known for being hospitable. Israel was to be known for being a nation where those in need were cared for. There really was nothing radical whatsoever in what Jesus said to this Pharisee. In fact, it was his duty under God to provide for those in need in his community. It would have been entirely in keeping with what he professed to believe to invite the poor, the maimed, the lame and the blind to his table. And so it is for us. God's Son, Jesus Christ, our Saviour, our Lord, he calls us to do the same. To show love in this way. To show this kind of hospitality, genuine hospitality. I put some references from the New Testament in the outline where this command is given to us. I'll quickly read a couple of them. Romans chapter 12, verse 13. Referring to how Christians ought to live in light of the gospel, the Holy Spirit says that we are to be distributing to the necessity of saints and given to hospitality. That word given carries the idea of pursuing, of really trying to chase something down. The sense is that for Christians, hospitality is to be something we're serious about. We look for opportunities to show it. We show hospitality as much as we can and as well as we can. Then listen to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2. This verse is very straightforward with an interesting thought at the end. The Lord says to us, "Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares." Now, I won't say anything more about this text except that the message is clear. Don't forget, in other words, make sure you remember to what? To entertain strangers. That's what God's people do. And that brings us to point number 5. It's the unavoidable implication of what the New Testament teaches. If we open our homes only to our family members and closest friends, we are falling short in this area of the Christian life. I'll say it again. If we open our homes only to our family members and closest friends, we are falling short in this area of the Christian life. Now, before I go any further, let me say that I understand, and I'm sure the Lord does too, that some Christians, because of age or infirmity or other circumstances, are genuinely unable to have people come into their homes for a meal. There are very real limitations on their capacity to show hospitality, and that's okay. And if this is where you find yourself, I don't want to place a burden on you that Jesus would not have you bear. But I do want to say that there are other ways that you can follow him in this area. You might not be able to have strangers or those in need come into your home, but perhaps you can give something to them. You can certainly go and talk to them. You can reach out to them with your conversation. You can show an interest in them. You know, if you see someone sitting by themselves, someone you don't know, you really can actually step out of your comfort zone, step out of your circle of friends that you're chatting with and go and say hello and interact with them and find out how they're doing. That's a version of hospitality. That's showing love to strangers. We can all do that. I acknowledge that some of us are limited in our ability to have people come into our homes, but most of us are not. Most of us can do this. We might make excuses as to why we can't, but the truth is that we really could if we wanted to. It's amazing what we can do when we want to do it, when it's a priority. In all my years of pastoring, this is one of the things I've learned. I call it the iron law of Western middle-class Christianity. People generally do what they want to do. If they really want to do it, they'll find a way. The issue in our context is usually not one of ability or opportunity or resources. It's willingness. It's willingness. Perhaps this morning you need to feel the weight of Jesus' words. Because if the truth be told, your home is rarely, if ever, open to people other than your family and your closest friends. There is very little of this authentic hospitality flowing from your hands and from your heart. You keep things tight. Your circle of generosity is fairly exclusive. You rarely step outside of your comfort zone to reach out to people you don't know that well or to people in need, and you almost never invite such people inside. If this is true of your life, if you are falling short in this area, then let me encourage you to look for opportunities. Take that step and invite someone into your home for a meal who you don't know that well. Maybe someone in this room. Reach out, show concern. Be generous to someone who you know is lonely or someone who is struggling. Get out of the comfort of your own little bubble and open your hands and open your heart to others. If ever our community needed Christians who are serious about hospitality, it's now, in the aftermath of these terrible floods and the destruction and misery that they have brought. We just need to have our eyes open to the opportunities and the willingness to take them. If we do this, if we get serious about following Jesus in this way, we will be blessed. And this is the final point of application for our hearts this morning. When we show authentic hospitality, we experience blessing in this life and in the life to come. This is what Jesus said. Look, please, one last time at verses 13 and 14. But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and thou shalt be blessed. For they cannot recompense thee. Thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. And this is something that I think we've all found to be true. That when we do this kind of thing, when we share our home with people who we don't know so well, when we invite strangers to our dinner table or people in need, when we show them this kind of love, love that expects nothing in return, we are blessed. In serving others and forgetting about ourselves, we often experience great joy. I think this is included in what Jesus says here, "Thou shalt be blessed." There is blessing in the present, and there will be blessing in eternity. Christ will recompense his people many times over for all that they have given, all that they have spent, all that they have sacrificed in showing love to others. I'm sure you've heard it said that God is no man's debtor. Just as we have invited people to come into our home and sit at our table, so one day Christ will welcome us into his home and have us sit down at his table and there will be joy for us. Joy unspeakable and full of gladness. Now these words of our Lord Jesus here in Luke chapter 14 are not so easy to receive. I can't imagine the host at this meal enjoyed hearing them. But they are important words. And this is an important message, an important part of the Christian life. Hospitality is one of the primary ways we show love to our brothers and sisters in the family of God. And it's how we show love to those outside the family, to those who need to know God and His beloved Son. I pray you will receive this message today with an open heart and let the Lord have His way. Amen.